You know, it's funny how God works. I ministered in Toronto. An Indian lady came and said, "Would you like to go to Vancouver?" I said, "Why?" She said, "Go meet my sister." Her name was Indira Patro. They've never heard about me. I don't know what her sister said. She said, "Come." Made me stay in their house. This must be about 16, 17 years back. I used to live in New Zealand. And that's the time I met with Pastor Randy. Some place called White Rock. So even today people come and say, "I saw you in White Rock. I saw you in White Rock." Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But yes, I lived in New Zealand. God moved me to U.S. I live with my wife. My wife, we live in Charlotte, North Carolina. I had to sell my children on discount. Yeah, I'll teach you how to do it. Yeah, I have a daughter who's married. She lives in New Zealand. I have a son who's trying to get many girlfriends. He lives in Melbourne, Australia, but they're lovely kids. They're lovely kids. They always look at me, smile, and say, "We don't want to be like you." I like that. Come on, your kids have told you many times. Amen? So get used to it. Get used to it. But I'm very grateful to this church. Every time I come, I've asked permission from Pastor Randy that he would let me minister. So please, you can get rid of me, okay? Yeah, you don't need to like me, but I know how to gate crash. Amen. But yes, the conference. Guys, your church is hosting you. We're hosting the conference. So if you're free, please come. Please come. Because the teaching has been excellent. The teaching has been excellent. And something which I really enjoyed, I mean, this Apostle Everton, I don't know him at all. But we serve together. We've served together. I've been in the ministry for 37 years. I've worked with some of the celebrity preachers. They will talk about kingdom. You won't know what kingdom they're talking about. They will talk about love. You won't know whom they will love. But Pastor Everton, he said, "Peter, stand with me." We laid hands on people together. That was awesome. That was awesome. And again, about tax receipts, that was interesting. Amen. But I'm an Indian man, and I can tell you, nobody can give like Indians. Are you with me? Yeah, you are going to get jealous. There was a Canadian man, there was a Russian man, and there was an Indian man. And they were talking about giving to God. Say that, giving to God. One more time. One more time. So the Canadian said, "We are the most generous people on the earth. We know how to give to God." So he started explaining. He said, "I'll draw a small circle, a very small circle. I will stand inside the circle, and I will take all my money, all my wealth, and I will throw it up. Whatever falls inside the small circle, I'll give it to God. No, whatever falls inside the circle, I keep it for myself." See, Canadians are generous. "Whatever falls outside the small circle, I give it to God." The Russians said, no, that's not the way. We draw a big circle. Whatever falls inside the big circle, I give it to God. Whatever falls outside the big circle, I keep for myself. The Indian said, no circle at all, no circle. The Canadian and the Russian were shocked. No circle, no circle. I take everything, I throw it up. Whatever God takes, he keeps. Whatever comes down, I take. Hallelujah. Learn from the Indian. Hallelujah. Amen. Guys, well, I come from a family which is still not Christian. I met with Jesus in my room. He called me by my name. This was in 1981. In 1981, I said, "I'll follow you." In 1984, he said, "I'm going to take you to many countries." People said, "Crazy. Go to Bible school, do this, do that, do this, do that." But every time I went to God, at the age of 22, 23, I told God, talk to me. Talk to me. Talk to me. Now why? Because God spoke to Adam. God spoke to Eve. God spoke to the serpent. How many of you know he took time to speak to the serpent? To me, it was unacceptable. I said, if you can take time to talk to a serpent, I am not worse than a serpent. Maybe I'm not your best creation like Adam or Eve. But if you can talk to the serpent, talk to me, talk to me. All my friends said, crazy, 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 crazy. I used to go to a large church in India. The pastor used to say, pray for 6 hours, pray for 7 hours, read the Bible. I said, no, can you teach me how to make God talk to me? Can you teach me how to make God talk to me? My brother, my sister, please. I'm challenging myself. If I don't challenge myself, I never challenge people. As God's children, God is eager that we know his thoughts. Say that, I should know his thoughts. One more time. One more time. If I know his thoughts, then I will know that he's keen to do something. If I don't know his thoughts, I would never know that he's keen to do something. And when I know he's keen to do something, then I would like to ask him. I would like to find out how he's going to do it. How he's going to do it. Where he's going to do it. How he's going to do it. Where he's going to do it. And then, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? Now, why is this important, my brother, my sister? I travel around. Till last year, my goal was to go to 30 countries in a year. This year, I've made it 40. Please, I mean, I want to go to more countries. More countries are inviting me. And I specifically want to go to countries where many preachers don't like to go. Canada, a lot of people are coming. I mean, I want to go to a place called Dili. Have you heard where Dili is? There's a country called Laos. In Laos, you can't carry the Bible at all. You carry the Bible, you'll be arrested. So they asked me, can you come without your Bible? I said, why not? Please, there's so much of freedom here. There is so much of freedom here. There's a country called Myanmar. I want to go there. You can't do anything publicly. I want to go. Because God says, go. Go, I'll come with you. I'll come with you. I'll come with you. We are going to Philippines. I'm still waiting for you to tell me. See, guys, listen. Wherever I go, I meet with a lot of people who are very spiritual. They are more spiritual than me. How do I know that? They can't make a normal conversation. Hello? If they're talking to me, they shake like this. And they say, God is moving. I said, okay, keep it to yourself. How many of you understand that? But they ask me this question. I don't know what God is doing. I don't know what is good God is doing. Because they say, I never expected, I never expected, I never expected. So what do you expect? What do you expect? Why do you expect? What do you expect? Why do you expect? See, I'm an Indian man. Recently I was in India and I was sitting in a plane. Imagine the plane leaves from Vancouver to Toronto. So you go through so many checks. In India, there are so many checks. And I'm sitting in the airport, and I'm sitting in the front line. The air hostess, a very pretty girl, she picks the mic and she makes an announcement. We want to tell you this plane goes from Vancouver to Toronto. So if your destination is not Toronto, please leave the plane. And I'm thinking, this is ridiculous. How will somebody come and sit in a plane without knowing the destination? And 6 people got up and walked out of the plane. I couldn't help myself. I laughed loudly. She came and asked me, what's wrong with you? I said, what do you mean, what's wrong with me? She said, you're an Indian. You're supposed to know. I said, no, I don't live here. I don't know. She said, India hasn't changed. I meet a lot of believers like this. I never expected, so I don't know what to do. And the second question is, I don't know what God is doing. I don't know what God is doing. So we go from meeting to meeting, conference to conference, prophecy to prophecy, prayer meeting, Bible study to Bible study. God does not want us to be ignorant. God does not want us to be ignorant. So this morning I want to speak about prophetic freedom. Can you put the notes, sir? Can you put the notes? And I want you to put the scripture first, the book of 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 to 7. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 to 7. I want somebody to read it for me. Who's going to read it? Can you read it for me? Stand up. You're going to read.
Second Kings chapter 4, verse 1. Now the wife of the one of the sons of the prophets cried to Elijah, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord. But the creditor has come to take my two children to be his slaves." And Elijah said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what have you in the house?" And she said, "Your servant has nothing in the house except a jar of oil." Then he said, "Go outside, borrow best vessels from your neighbors, empty vessels and not too few. Then go in and shut the door behind yourself and your sons and pour into all these vessels. And when one is full, set it aside." So she went from him and shut the door behind herself and her sons. And as she poured, they brought the vessels to her. When the vessels were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." And he said to her, "There is not another." Then the oil stopped flowing. Okay. Then he said, "Go outside, borrow vessels from all your neighbors, empty vessels and not too few. Then go in and shut the door behind yourself and your sons and pour into all these vessels. And when one is full, set it aside." So she went from him and shut the door behind herself and her sons. And as she poured, they brought the vessels to her. When the vessels were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." And he said to her, "There is not another." Then the oil stopped flowing. She came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go, sell the oil and pay your debts, and you and your son can live on the rest."
Can you give her a hand, please? Listen, guys, listen, please. I don't want to be too spiritual. I want to be very practical. Are you with me? So let me explain. This is happening in a house. Say that in a house. In a house, in a home. Are you with me? So, did they have faith? Yes, they had faith. Were they faithful? They were very faithful. Did they have a ministry? Yes. Were they part of the prophetic? Yes. But did the prophetic work in their house? No. Was the Spirit there? Yes. Did they believe in the Holy Spirit? Yes. Did they believe in miracles? Yes. Did they believe in the overflow? Yes. But did it work? No. So today I meet so many people. They preach to me. Yesterday a lady came. 1 hour, 10 minutes, she was preaching to me. And I'm thinking, why should you come and preach to me? I know all these things. It's so much in her. But then I asked her, "Are you happy?" "No." "Are you in a relationship? Do you want to get married?" "No." "No, 13 years back, I got a prophecy, I'll get married. 21 years old back, I got a prophecy, I'll have 4 chickens and 2 dogs. 2 years back, I got a prophecy, I will have a ministry, I'll go to nations. 1 year back, I had a prophecy that I'll have a house. Do you have any of them?" "No." Then you can preach to me. Hallelujah. I don't care. This is happening in a house. It's happening in a house. And I would call this a house where ignorance was sitting there. The power of ignorance. And ignorance was saying, yes, he doesn't know what he's doing. She doesn't know what he is doing. And both of them don't know what God wants to do. And the children don't know what the home is doing. But do they pray? Yes. Do they fast? Yes. Can they speak in tongues? Yes. Do they say visions and dreams? Yes. Do they see angels? Yes. There's a power of ignorance. Can you put the notes, sir? Can you put the notes? This morning the Lord woke me up and he said, Peter Kumar, you need to make my people understand that I can set them free. There is a freedom. I'm calling it prophetic freedom. I don't know whether it is politically correct. I don't know whether it's theologically correct. A prophetic freedom. Say that, a prophetic freedom. One more time. Connect with a prophetic revelation. What is a prophetic revelation? A prophetic revelation will say, don't be ignorant. Don't be ignorant. Don't be ignorant. Don't be ignorant. In my language, it will say, don't be helpless. Don't be helpless. Don't be helpless. An average Christian comes and tells me, I accepted the Lord. I'm a born-again person. I confess my sin. A slightly spiritual Christian says, I have the Holy Spirit, I speak in tongues. A more spiritual Christian says, in every meeting, I fall down under the power. Are you with me? Yeah, people come and ask me, when are you going to make me fall? I tell them, don't fall, please. You'll get hurt. I don't make people fall. Because I've seen people get hurt. See, in Canada, you have catches. There are countries where there are no catches. It's not about whether you fall or not. Please, you can have all your spiritual experiences. But there is a power of ignorance. The man died. So the man is not in the scene. So one person in the family has been taken up. And immediately, the lady realizes that she can't pay her bills. How many of you understand that? I'm not talking only money. She can't pay her bills. She can't take care of her children. And she's about to lose part of the family. She's about to lose part of the family. And she would go and tell everybody, I never knew, I never knew, I never knew. I never knew that he borrowed so much money. I never knew that he never repaid. I never knew that he didn't have a good job. I never knew that he didn't have a good business. I never knew that his partners were lousy. I never knew that. I hear this everywhere, my brother, my sister. I hear this everywhere. Peter Kumar, I never knew. I never knew. I never knew. I never knew. And then they say, but I know God is with me. So one day God asked me, so if they say I'm with them, can you ask them what I'm supposed to do in their life? They're not letting me do anything. How rude. That's what God told me. See, obviously in this lady's life, God could not do anything. Was God with her? Yes. But was God able to work? I'm not very sure. Connect with a prophetic revelation. God is screaming from heaven, how long my people can be ignorant? How long my people can be ignorant? Where there is no revelation, people perish. But where there is revelation, people will flourish. People will flourish. Flourishing is not just money. I was speaking in a church recently, and I have my own sense of humor, but nobody was even smiling. So finally I told them, if you smile, I'll give you $2. Even after them, they didn't want to smile. And a young girl came and told me, actually, I wanted to smile, but I looked at my mom and my grandma, they were not smiling. That's a great anointing. Hallelujah. See, the prophetic revelation, it will say, God has been with you. Say that God has been with me. And God is interested in every situation. In every situation. Whether you invite your own trouble or others take you into that point of trouble. Today in the churches, something which stands out is what is called, I'm a victim, I'm a victim, I'm a victim, I'm a victim. Peter Kumar, you don't know. Peter Kumar, you don't understand. I'm a victim. I'm anointed, but I'm a victim. I have a ministry, I'm a victim. I have faith, I'm a victim. I have many prophecies, but I'm a victim. So then after a while, prophecy doesn't really entice you at all. Big deal. Big deal. What's he going to say? He's going to say the same thing which somebody said 17 years back. He's going to say the same thing. Praise God, God has not changed. He wants to tell you the same thing again and again. A man came and told me, Peter Kumar, this is the 21st confirmation. What you said, 21 people have said. I said, I want to kick you on your backside. You want God to say the same thing 21 times? Are you so dumb? Imagine God said 21 times, let there be a sun. Imagine what would have happened. 21 suns. Let there be a moon. 21 moons. Hello. Nobody can handle it. Prophetic freedom. God wants to deal with the victim mindset. Victim mindset. Can you put the next slide? Sir? Connect with the freedom in the spirit. Break victim mindset. Please, the Bible says the spirit will set you free. How many of you understand that? The spirit will set you free. But for many of us, spiritual life is a big bondage. I need to do this. I need to do this. I need to do this. I prophesied over a young man. And he told me, you know, Peter Kumar, I don't think I will be able to receive what you prophesied. I said, why? Oh, because I don't read the Bible so much. I used to pray for 22 minutes every day. Now I'm praying only for 18 minutes. So what? God is having a stopwatch timing, 4 minutes less, so I can't bless you? I mean, what do you think of God? Somehow we feel he's going to punish me, punish me, punish me. Why? Because I'm not perfect and I will never become perfect. See, please, many preachers say God loves you. To me, it's elementary. Elementary. Even a dog will love you. You give him meat, he'll come to you. If you want to know, go to Christine's house. He's got a dog. Yeah, I like it. He's so persuasive. He bites you if you don't treat him well. I'm not talking about wives at all, please. But please, beyond that, how do you define love? Can there be love without communication? Can there be love without exchange of commodities? Can you give love without receiving? We need to understand, God, when he says, I love you, then he wants to involve in every aspect of our life. And the Spirit of God is given to us so that there is a freedom. There is a freedom. Now understand about this family. The man tells her, "Madam, you go out and get all the vessels." Why? Because your children are going to become captive. Your children are going to become captive. That means a system is going to come and a system is going to rule your household. How many of you understand? Insurance is a system. Pension is a system. Divorce is a system. Job is a system. Wage is a system. Share is a system. They are not designed by God. They are not designed by God at all. If somebody says, "I have a good job," I ask them, "So how much does your job pay you?" Then they say, $40 an hour. Then I ask them, "How much does God pay you?" They say, "What do you mean?" A lot of us, most of us, we go from some pay to no pay. Hallelujah. Am I saying the truth? Some pay to? That's called faith ministry, right? How many of you know faith doesn't pay? But God says faith is supposed to release rewards, not a paycheck. So you have to learn what you're entitled for. So when you say, "I have faith for this," then you have to learn how to encash it. Yesterday in the conference, the man was speaking about converting spiritual elements into material blessings. Converting spiritual elements. Abraham had faith. Abraham had faith. David had an anointing. Elijah had a mantle. Elijah had a mantle. Elisha received a double portion. They never said, "Lord, give me a good job." They never prayed, "Give me a good business." They were not against it. But they knew how to convert spiritual elements. So the man of God says, "Ma'am, lady, please, you go and get the vessels." But the lady says, "Maybe I shouldn't go. My children are going to go under the system. My children are going to become victims." So she sends her children, "Go get the vessels. Go get the vessels." It's amazing for me. It's really amazing. See, it requires a lot of courage. It requires a lot of faith. I would call it even audacity. It's an audacity. I don't know whether Elisha really expected that that lady will have so much of faith and so much of freedom. Immediately, see that word, immediately says, "Ma'am, you need to be set free. You need to be set free. You need to be set free." The moment you are set free, then you can impart that freedom. That freedom will break every system. That freedom will break every system. Systems are good, but they are designed by man. I live in the U.S. According to U.S. federal government law, Peter Kumar is unemployed. According to the kingdom law, Peter Kumar is unemployable. I worked for 16 years. I'm an MBA, Master of Business Administration. I worked for 16 years. God told me to resign. I had a wonderful wife. I had two small children. My daughter was 5 years old, 6 years. My son was five. I told the Lord, "This is not fair. If you had a plan like this to make me resign, I wouldn't have married at all. I would have become a nun. You make me get married, and then you make me have children, and my children are just growing up. And now you say resign. For what?" He said, "How can I take you to nations? You're praying, 'Use me mightily, use me mightily, use me mightily.' So tomorrow I'll tell you to go to China. And you will go and tell your boss, my God is telling me to go to China. And your boss will say, just shut up and go sit in your seat. So China won't wait for you. I won't wait for you. I was doing a project in some part of India. So I told the Lord, can I meet my wife and talk to her? I was away from home. And those days in India, you never had cell phones. So to make a phone call, long distance phone call, was expensive. Very expensive. The company will not allow. How many of you understand that? According to the rules and regulations of the company, you can make a call only for company purpose, not for personal purpose and not for kingdom. Even if God speaks, don't even touch the. So I sat and I wrote the resignation, and the resignation went to my office. My boss treated me like a son. He called my wife and he said, is your husband crazy? She said, why? No, he sent a resignation. So my boss tore my resignation, put it in the bin and said, tell him not to do this. Tell him. I came home. My wife said, have you resigned? I said, yes. I said, why do you ask? She said, I thought you were sleeping and you wrote something and you sent it. I didn't know. I said, no, I was awake. I knew what I wrote. I went to my office. My boss said, do you know that you have a wife? Do you know you have two small children? How could you do this? I said, my God. And he said, my God, how can you be so crazy? And he cried. My boss cried and said, don't do this, Peter Kumar. Don't do this. I didn't know everything. Please, I didn't know I would be standing in Cloverdale. I didn't know at all. But I had a freedom. Yes, if God speaks, if God has a plan, I should be a free man, not a victim. Not a victim. Not a victim. Please, my brother, my sister, we have to go through certain things. It's not a miracle. There's no writing in the sky. I resigned. That evening, my daughter came home. She was about 6 years old. And she said, Dad, look at my shoes. Look at my shoes. The shoes had just split. It had opened. The sole had given away. So I told her, I'll take you to the shoe shop. I used to buy some shoes from a guy. He knows me very well. So a doctor friend, who's part of my Bible study, somebody told him Peter Kumar resigned. He was horrified. So he came to me and said, you have resigned. I said, yes. Why? I said, God told. He said, shut up. You don't know. I want to talk to you. I want to talk to you. I said, I want to get shoes for my daughter. He said, I'll also come. So we went in his car. I didn't have a car. I had a two-wheeler. So I sat in the shop. The guy knows me very well. He gives me a cup of tea. And he says, sir, welcome. And I'm sitting there. I told my daughter, go pick whatever shoe you want. So my daughter is going around the whole shop. And then she brings a shoe, 90 Indian money. It's about what? Less than $2. It's a nice shoe. I said, pack it. The doctor friend, my Bible study friend, takes me aside. And he said, I want to talk to you. I said, why? He said, did you see the cost of the shoe? 90. He said, you have resigned. I said, yes, I've resigned. You can't afford 90. I said, who said? I'm telling you. So I said, what should I do? Oh, give the shoe to your daughter. You walk her into the shop. And I saw there's a shoe there for $9, $9. There's another shoe for 12. Pick the 9 and give it to your daughter and say, because daddy resigned. And why did daddy resign? Because God told daddy to resign. Daddy can't give you $90. Daddy can give you $9. How will you feel, my brother, my sister? This is spirit-filled Bible study advice. Hallelujah. Now, please, is he wrong? He's not wrong at all. He's not wrong. Did he care for me? Yes. But what am I supposed to say? I told him, why do you do this to me? He said, Peter Kumar, get used. Get used to becoming a victim. Get used to become a victim. I cried. I said, God, please, you're calling me to nations. And here is a proposal to become a victim. God said, it's up to you. What do you choose? What do you choose? I asked the Lord, what will take me to nations? I never said, how much is the cost? I never said, how much is the ticket? He said, can you learn some English? Learn to speak some English. I went and told my friends, God wants me to learn to speak some good English. They laughed at me. God will not say that. And then study the word. You sit with me and study the word. 6-7 years, me and my Bible, me and my Bible. Every disciple said, go to a Bible school, do your theology, do Hebrew, do Aramaic. But I could have done all that. I'm not against it. But God said, no, you and me, you and me, you and me. Break the victim mindset. See, the lady had to deal with the victim mindset. Say the victim mindset. One more time. One more time. And she had to break the victim mindset over her children. I love that. The children must have been surprised. They would have never seen the mom like that. They've never seen the mom so crazy. Mom, are you sure, mom? I know you have only so much oil. They would have taken a picture, put it on Snapchat, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. And they would have said, pray for us, pray for us. Mom is getting crazy, mom is getting crazy, mom is getting crazy. Pray for us. See, many of us, we don't want these things to happen in our home. Hallelujah. We want this to happen in Benihin Crusade or Bill Johnson's church. No, why can't we make it happen in our house, my brother, my sister? Every time my pastor comes to me in the U.S. and he says, how do you do this? I said, I don't know. I don't know. He doesn't talk only about money. One day I asked my wife, I travel so much, how do you handle it? She said, really, I can cope with you only for 3 days. In 3 days, you mess the whole house. You don't wash anything. You're crazy. I mean, you don't even do the bed. So 3 days, I can handle you. Fourth day, I'm so happy to put you in the airport. Praise the Lord. God speaks to my wife. 3 days only. Hallelujah. My daughter recently spoke to me. She asked me, do you know how to put the aircon? No. Recently I came back from India. Instead of heat, I put cold. And I was freezing. And I told my wife, maybe the aircon is not working. She said, no, you don't know how to do it. I don't know how to put the washing machine. Please, I'm not a good model at all. I'm not a good role model at all. My daughter said, don't you think you have to learn all these things? And she made a list of things I need to learn. How to put on the oven, how to put on the stove. I don't know. I'm spoiled. I'm really spoiled. I'm really spoiled. I told my wife, can you teach me? She laughed and said, too late. See, please, even a prophecy can make you a victim. Even a prophecy. Yesterday, a lady came and told me, I've been receiving prophecies that I'm going to get married. How do I prepare myself? I said, please, go look at the price of wedding dresses. Go look at a wedding cake. Yeah, choose the dress. Choose the cake, choose the place, then God will choose a man. It works. It works. See, connect with the freedom in the spirit. Can you put the last verse, sir? Connect with prophetic transfer. Say that, prophetic transfer. One more time. One more time. See, she captures the word and she releases the word, not just in her spirit, but into every aspect in the home. How to convert your spiritual element. Abraham converted his faith. He learned to receive from God. Can you put the book of Genesis, chapter 24, verse 34 and 35. Genesis 24. My brother, my sister, see, if we realize, if we learn to do this, that means we are learning how to make God work with us. Say that, God work with us. One more time. See, because we are always, it's very easy to say God will do it in his time. How many of you have heard that? God will do it in, how many of you know one day is like 1,000 years for God? So please, God will laugh at you. So you'll wait for 1,000 years? I don't think God will wait. Genesis 24, 35, sir. 35. The Lord has greatly blessed my master. He has become great. He's given him. Who gave him? God gave him. So he is receiving from a different economy. The God economy. Say the God economy. One more time. So from the God economy, he receives what? Given him flocks, herds, silver, gold, male servants, female servants, camels, and donkeys. How many of you can handle all this? No, in Canada, you can't have camels and donkeys. See, please, whatever Abraham did, he would have received from a worldly economy. There's nothing wrong. But at the age of 100, imagine who's going to pay him anything. Nobody's going to pay him anything. But at the age of 100, somebody says, actually the world, he never received a good pension. He never received a good share. Maybe he invested in many places, everything went down. He lost everything. But still God. So why did God give? Because God promised. What did God promise? I will make you great and I will make your name great. So if I learn to tap from that economy, along with love, along with favor, along with forgiveness of sin, along with the ticket to go to heaven, along with tongues, along with visions, angels, is it wrong to tap into things? This morning we have a testimony. Again, I don't know this person. I went to the hospital to pray for him. John took me. But today he came and said, Peter Kumar, God spoke something. I don't even remember. Can you please come here, sir? Give him a hand. It's such a joy to see you. I didn't even know your name. Steve. Right, sir. We are talking about prophetic transfer.
Oh, how do I say this? So, most of you people know I had a health issue. I had lots of prayer through this health issue. I had a heart attack and had to go through surgery. And many things happened. God spoke to me in many little small voices. The whole church here came and prayed for me. I had peace. My wife and family prayed for me. I had lots of peace. And I even asked God, if I'm going to go under, am I going to speak with you or is it going to be blank? I just had all these little questions. And it was blank, by the way. My doctor came to me, the surgeon, and he asked me, he said, This is a little whisper from God. He says, you know, I have a really good friend. He's a doctor, and his name is Dr. Benet. And I asked him if he was related to you. He's Israeli. And I said, no, but he said, no, but please take good care of him. So me hearing that word was God's voice to me. And I guess Peter was here last time. My wife came and spoke to him, and he and John came to visit me, like many of you others. And I appreciate all the visitations from all you people that came, and even those that didn't, because I know your prayers were there. Even yesterday I was at a wedding, and people told me they prayed for me, and it was 5 months ago already, right? So I'm very thankful. Anyways, Peter prayed for me, along with John and my wife, that it's a major surgery, but it's going to be a minor repair, right? And I was at peace with that. I just trusted that, right? But another little tidbit or whisper from God was Peter, you know, had a gown on, and Peter says, and your right leg, that vein in your right leg is going to be dealt with. You're not going to have to worry about it. I didn't even know how he knew that, because I did have a huge varicose vein in my right leg, and for various reasons. And, I just received what he said. He also said drink lots of water and walk. Jerry, you know about water, right? So, and I believe that. The interesting thing is Peter said he never went to Bible school or anything. And he says, I don't know anything about what doctor says, but all I hear him say is walk and water, walk and water. So I received that too from Peter. Anyways, so probably after about a month, maybe 3 weeks, I don't even know the time, the vein in my leg started to disappear, right? So, and it sounds small, but it's not small, because it just builds up my faith in him and my trust in the messengers that he brings to our church. Because it's not just for me, it's for all of us that are here, okay? Because we have to receive it in those various ways. So I'm just, I feel encouraged, and I want to pass and impart an encouragement to all of you people too.
Thank you. Thank you. Guys. Guys, again the question. So Peter Kumar, how do I process it? How do I process it? The first key, say that the first key. God would never speak to somebody whom God would not trust to be capable. See, prophecy is not something which a man or a woman says. Because, like, we classify, this is a good prophet, he's not a good prophet, this is a generic prophet, he's an accurate prophet, he's a psychic prophet. And how many of you know there are some prophets which come to the prophets? Hallelujah. Prophet, prophet. But if you believe God is speaking through him, even if God speaks through a donkey, God knows you're capable. Why is important? Because when we receive a prophecy, immediately we say, so God has to do it. No, God says you have to do it. The moment you say God has to do it, the enemy wins. Because that's a victim mindset. I'll wait on God. I'll wait for God. I will do more soaking. I will study the word. I will go to the Bible school. I'll go to the supernatural school. Do whatever you want, please. Nothing wrong at all. But still, you have to say, because I am capable. Because I am capable. Some of the prophecies I received, a lady came and said, you will be in 3 countries in one day. I'm 23 years old. I looked at her and I screamed at her, just shut up. Who do you think you are and who do you think I am? I've just finished my college. I don't even have a good job. This is 1983 and her hand shivered. And she said, when it happens, come and tell me. It began to happen a few years back, maybe 12, 13 years back. I found her. She had changed her house. She moved to another place. I went to her. She's now 78 years old. And I went to her and said, "It's happening." She said, "What?" I said, "3 countries in a day." She says, "Who are you?" I said, "What do you mean? You give me a word and you don't remember me?" She said, "No." And then I told her, "You told me something like this, it's happening." She hugged me, she cried, and she said, "I wish everybody to whom I prophesy will make it happen." Of course, God has to do it, but you need to be there. God will never work with an empty space. Please. Some of the instructions I give to people is crazy because God just says, "Now please, water and walk, is that a good instruction?" I don't even know. If he had told his doctor, doctor would have said, "Don't let that guy come and see you again." A man was paralyzed. When he was totally paralyzed, the Lord told me in 3 days he's going to stand up and walk. So what should he do? Yes, rinse a hand towel in hot water and ask him to put it on his shoulder. He told the doctor, "A man is sitting in America. He's telling me that I should rinse it in hot water, put it on my shoulder. For what? So that in 3 days I walk out of the hospital." What will the doctor say? The doctor said, "This man is a crazy man." And then the doctor said, "Even if you're going to do it, check with him, because hot water will not do anything. Maybe it's a pack of ice. And ice will do a better healing. So ask him whether it's going to be ice in a hand towel or hot water in a hand towel." So I checked with God. Ice or hot water? Ice. He said, "Hot water." I was in India 3 days back. The man drove his motorbike and came and saw me. He's not even a Christian. But he said, "I will walk out." He didn't say, "I will wait for the hospital to discharge me." I am the key player in the prophecy, in any prophetic utterance, in any vision, in any dream. I am the key player, and God wants to do it with me. So my faith should increase. My anointing should increase. My obedience should increase. If I have to read the word, it has to increase. Show some increase. I can't be laid back and say, "I'll wait for God to do." Own it up. Own it up. Own it up. The second thing, address the place where you're a victim or a captive. Address it. Address it. Address it. Please, make God work. Make God work. Make God work. Because He wants to work. He wants to work. I am a migrant. I don't even qualify for certain things. Like in the US, for a green card, you have to be in the country for certain days. I don't even qualify. So I went to this officer. It was a legal matter. And the officer straight away said, "You don't have so many days, so you don't qualify." Do I understand? Yes, I'm a highly educated man. So he says, "Please, you decide to stay in the country and I'll do it." So I said, "Yes, sir, thank you very much." And God says, "Tell him to go back to his wife." I said, "God, please, you don't understand. This is not a church. This is his office. I don't even know anything about his wife." So I said, "Sir, while I'm leaving, I just want to tell you, go back to your wife." He said, what did you say? I said, your wife. Then he said, who told you? I said, my God just told me. He said, who are you? I said, I'm just a man of God. I preach about the love of God. I preach about Jesus. He knelt down and he said, will you take a confession? I'm a Catholic. This is happening in his office. I said, man, please, I'm not the Pope. And he says, I have slept with so many women. I said, I don't want to hear this. And then God says certain things. You're suicidal. You wanted to commit suicide a few times. Don't do that. And you're drinking excessively. He made me sit there and he said, you don't qualify. Do you know that? I said, yes. But this nation needs people like you. So I'm going to make a recommendation. And he makes a recommendation. All kinds of people come into this country, but this country needs this man. So give him whatever. And I got the residency. Yeah. See, you have to make God work all the time. Everywhere. It can be good time, it can be bad time. But check, what does God want to do? What does God want to do? What does God want to do? The lady wanted God to work in her house. Did she know she doesn't have anything? She knows. Does the family know she doesn't have much? They know. Does the community know? Imagine she goes, she sends her children, get some vessels. All the inquisitive, curious believers that have said, what's wrong? Is your mom getting guests? Are you having a party? No, my mom wants to pour the oil so that this big vessel will be full and all the vessels. Is your mom crazy? Should I come? Maybe she should go for counseling. How can your mom go so crazy? How much oil is there? Only so much. So can I give you another bottle exactly like this so that from this bottle to that bottle to this bottle? No, no, no. Mom is asking for big vessels. How many of you have the courage, the audacity to step out like that? We don't want to because we want a practical God to do practical things according to our practical problems. Finally, she says, I can go and ask, but it's better my children go. The impartation of that spiritual freedom. It has to happen in the family. It has to happen in the family. I remember one day I came from a trip. My wife came and brought me from the airport. And she said, get ready, you need to take your son to the court. My son beat up some people. He's taller than me. He's more handsome than me. I'm very jealous of him. Somebody said something, he just beat him up. So here is this court. So five guys were involved. But there were also some drugs involved. When the cops went around, they find drugs in a car and my son was in that car. My son will not talk to me at all. Those days, he would say, I hate you, I hate your Jesus, I hate what you're doing. I say, it's okay. So I'm driving him to the court. He's sitting beside me. So 1 o'clock is a hearing. I'm looking at the clock. It's about 12:50. And I'm asking God, why do I have to do this, God? Why do I have to do it? Why do you have to embarrass me, bring me to the court? 12:50, God says, tell him to tell the truth. Tell your son to tell the truth. I will dismiss the whole thing. So I nudged my son. He said, what? I said, tell the truth. Tell the truth. Tell the truth. You won't have any problems. He said, who said? God said. He said, you never prayed. You never closed your eyes. You never da da ba da ba da ba da ba da. I said, no, I don't need to do that. So he just looked at me. And after 2 minutes, he's nudging me and said, what truth? How many of you understand that? See, children are like that. What truth? I said, I don't know, mate. You know the truth, you tell. So the court begins. All these five kids in the front. My son is sitting there. And the judge is a very elderly man. So the judge says, so who's your attorney? Who's your attorney? Who's your attorney? All the other kids had their attorney. So where's your attorney? I don't have. So who brought you? My dad. What does your dad do? He's a pastor. And the whole courthouse laughs. The judge looks at me and he says, you're a pastor? I said, yes. And your son is here? Yes. So five people go through the process. Now my son stands up in the victim thing. He looks at me. So the judge says, son, I was awake till 2 o'clock in the morning. I studied the whole case. I know every detail. Every detail. You tell the truth, I'll dismiss you. My son looks at me. I look at him. And my son is literally stammering, stuttering. He's trying to say something. 1.5 minutes, the judge says he's telling the truth. Dismiss him. And all the other five kids had to go through a process. My son came. My son took my hand and he said, Dad, thank you. Thank you. See, please, you can call this miracle, you can call this supernatural, you can call it angelic visitation. No use. I will say, I was able to make my God work in a situation in my own home. So that my son knows, this is not my dad. This is his God. And my son will know that my dad is not a victim. I will never be a victim. Hallelujah. 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 Guys, I want somebody to play the keyboard. Listen, guys, listen. Please. I'm not here to teach you. I'm not here to educate you. But we all have dreams. We all have desires. And the more we read the Bible, the more we go to a meeting, the more people prophesy over us. It's always the thoughts of God. And God always says, my thoughts are much higher than your thoughts. My thoughts are much higher than your thoughts. So I have a choice whether I should cling on to my thoughts or I should give up my bondage and I should make a transition. Say the transition. One more time. One more time. To live in God's thoughts. When Joseph said his dreams, his whole family laughed at him. When David went and stood before Goliath, Goliath ridiculed him. Do you think I'm a dog? Do you think I'm a dog? How could you come so unprepared? How can you come? And David would say, sir, no, you're not a dog. You're not even a bulldog. You're not even a shepherd dog, sir. But some crazy prophet, a man called Samuel, a man called Nathan came to me. You know, he said, I'm going to become a king. He said, I'm going to have many, many, many enemies. I love that scripture. 2 Samuel chapter 7 verse 8 and 9. 2 Samuel chapter 7 verse 8 and 9. 2 Samuel chapter 7. Listen, guys, how we can always live in the thoughts of God. We have to live in the thoughts of God. Because many of us, we have our thoughts, our situations, our own mandate, and we say, let God visit. Let God visit. He says, tell my servant David, I took you from the pasture. You will not be in the pasture. You will not be praying for sheep, 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 sheep all the time. You're going to change your prayer from following the sheep that you should be prince, king, ruler over my people. The next verse. So what is the qualification? I have to be with you wherever you go. And you should have many enemies. Hallelujah. How many of you like a prophecy like this? Only if you have more enemies, then there's no use of me being with you. So you have more enemies, I will make for you a great name, like the name of the great ones of the earth. So when the bear came, David would have said, Mr. Bear, actually I love you, but I have to kill you. Next time, don't send your cousin brother, send a lion. So he killed the lion. He would have told, actually, I love you. I have nothing against you. But I need to have enemies, man. My dad has just put me with all these sheep. The sheep love me. I love the sheep. I don't have any enemies. I was praying for enemies, so you came. I have to kill you. So when he killed the bear and the lion, then the SPCA would have come. Society for Cruelty. So he would have told the Lord, please send me some real enemy. And the moment he saw Goliath, he said, yeah, you. You. I told God, I need a real one. I need a real one. I was praying. And I heard you have many brothers. Yes, after you, I'll take them down. How many of you like a prophecy like that? My God is with me. I'm not coming in my own strength, man. I'm coming in his thoughts. He said he's going to be with me. I don't care how it's going to happen. But he would have told Goliath, see, please, sir, I don't have anything against you. I have nothing against you. But now that you're going to die, can you please fall on this side? Because the instruction is, I need to take your own sword and cut off your head. You fall on your sword, I'm a little boy. I can't even lift you and move you. And Goliath would have said, so who told you? My God. Okay, you do it, I'll fall on this side. You think such a small stone will put down a giant? Even I won't go down on such a small stone. Goliath would have said, the thoughts of your God, I'll go down. My brother, my sister, you may say, Peter Kumar, it is difficult. It is difficult. It is difficult. But it's not impossible. It's not impossible. Refuse to accept decrees. Refuse to accept captivity. Refuse to accept. Don't cry for miracles. Tell the Lord, I can do it. Because you want me to do it. Because you're trusting me to do it. You're trusting me. Guys, I'm grateful to you. I'm very grateful to you. I'm not a great preacher. I wish I was. But I have a heart for the kingdom. And all the time I tell God, can we do it together? Can we do it together? Say that, can we do it together? Can we do it together? Can we do it together? Tonight I will be here. Please, if you love this face, come. Yeah, the apostle is gone. Now only I am left. I'm the leftover. But I'm going to speak about the prophetic mandate. It will help. I want to lay hands on people. We have a ministry. I have a bank account. I spoke to Pastor Randy. He said, Peter, if anybody wants to support, I've given the deed. It's a TD bank account. Please, I'm not raising an offering. But I want to come to Canada at least 6 times a year. I'm willing to go anywhere in Canada. Why? Because you don't want to go. You'd like to go? Please, come with me. We'll go together. So if God lays in your heart, talk to Pastor Randy. I'm accountable to him. But today, man, you want to say something? 2 minutes? Come here. I'm going to go into a time of worship and prayer. Can the worship team come and do one song? Are they there?
Part of this family, and it's just so amazing how God's timing, how he works. And even though we may not think we're supposed to go somewhere and meet some sort of destiny, God prepares that. He prepares that through our weaknesses, but he gives you the peace, and we have to trust that peace. And God brings people into your life, and you have to be aware of that and have your eyes open. And whatever the desire is in your heart, even if you have no money, because this spoke to me. This spoke to me so wonderfully. And yes, I have. I will work with God. I will work with God. Amen. Thank you.
Can you imagine? She's an Indian too. Hallelujah. Please don't hate Indians. They've taken over heaven. Yeah. Pastor Randy, you can say a few words and then we're going to have a song and I'm going to lay hands on you.